Catholic Resolution. I already said where this material is coming from. It's Scott Stewart's book, Exemplary Husband. There is a complimentary book to that called Excellent Wife. Both are superb books. They are excellent books to read for any couple. In particular, read them at the same time because the chapters do tie to a similar theme all the way through. And it's just really great material. Saying about the definition of conflict, it really talks about strife. It's like a battle. And we know that, don't we, in our own lives? I bet you every one of us in here can, when we think about real conflict, interpersonal conflict, we have one or two individuals or one or two situations that come to mind and say, wow, there was a classic example. You know, as Christians, it is part of our life. We're sinners, and it is pretty easy to get into conflict. What is the challenge is to respond to it biblically. It is a military term, and it means to fight against. Clearly not what you would want in a marriage situation, although, or in any significant relationship. It's not what you want. You want peace and harmony. You sure don't want the tension, but in many situations, that's what comes to be, especially if you do not handle things biblically. In regards to conflict, this is Scott's definition of a conflict, then, is when both parties sin against one another in their communications and or actions. And sometimes it's the communication of the one and the action of the other, but it's still conflict. And are then in opposition to one another. And left that way, it just destroys unity. Destroys unity that God intends for groups of believers, in particular significant relationships, like a husband and wife. Or possibly a parent with a teenager. What does God want in a conflict? Well, it's pretty clear. Conflict grieves the heart of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, we looked at particularly verse 3. It's just not what he is looking for. He's not what he intends for us as believers to manifest and to radiate and to shine and model in a lost and dark world. I think of our neighborhood. Two things were modeled to me to talk about conflict. Twice I was driving down a street today where someone chose to park in the middle of the street, open up their door, and get out and talk to someone else. And they're in such a situation where you couldn't get around either side. And there you are. You know, it's not difficult to get bothered by that, by their inconsiderate response. In the one, the situation was that it had a Metro Mobility vehicle stopped and three or four other cars. I finally just backed up and went down another street. It was going nowhere, I thought, except maybe to where people are going to take out some guns and start shooting at each other. Because there was no apparent resolution. Well, those types of conflicts, that type of stress, you know what was even sadder? Is then in that particular time, I watched the couple in front of me, the two people in the car in front of me. They came and I came. So we both were there about the same 3 or 4 minutes. But in the 3 or 4 minutes, I looked at Pam. Pam said, you know, you probably should back up what we can. Let's just get out of here. And so that's what I did. But as I was doing it, I noticed the people in front of us, they were upset. And it wasn't before very long, they were obviously upset with each other. It's interesting how peripheral issues can cause even people that are sitting in the same car to turn on each other when, in fact, it was something outside the car. Conflict is a real issue. It's really, really a test and an area where we can grow in Christ-likeness. God wants us to do everything we can to not offend one another. That's what the Romans passage is. If it is possible, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible. That means sometimes it isn't. Okay, sometimes it isn't possible to be peaceful. Sometimes you have to call 911. You know, there's got to be some resolution of this. But if possible, you want to do it. It's far better. And he also says, and to stress the point of our conflicts with others, he says that we are to pray for one another. We had looked at some of these passages last week. And as a matter of fact, I had intended, this shows you where technology is today. I wasn't at my house when I printed the handout for tonight. And I specifically printed, and I know, I'm just positive I did. But I say positive. In my mind, I'm positive, but obviously it didn't work out the way. But I intended to print two-sided so that everyone would have last week's lesson filled out on with the handout. So I have last week's lesson on a separate sheet. It was supposed to be on the back side of your one for tonight. But because I printed it from a remote location, it only printed one side of everything. And I didn't recognize that until just seconds before the service started. So if you want last week's notes leading into this, I have them here for you. There are three different types of conflicts. They're caused by differences, personal differences, differences of opinion. We see that all over the place. And that's just one of the things that I know in my own communications rules. I seek to understand before I seek to be understood, and then I seek for clarity before I seek agreement. You understand what I just said? I seek clarity before I seek agreement, and then once we have clarity, then instead of trying to win my day or have them win their day, I try to get the whoever I'm talking with to say, what would God have us to do? Then we seek God's best. In light of the clarity, this is the problem. Huge. It really, really, really diffuses an enormous amount of issues. Offenses. Well, you know, the difference between differences is that's just your opinion. Preferences and all those things. However, there are real battles fought over preferences, I'll tell you. But offenses are when someone has done something wrong to you. And they may have really done something wrong. They may have been physically violent, or they may have been totally disrespectful of your relationship and your commitments. They may have lied. Or it's all sorts of things down that line. And you get offended by this. And you have a, you know, there is a sense in which there's a natural response when people haven't done right towards you. Let's not pretend that that isn't a natural God-given response. It is. The issue is to control our response. Our problems have their foundational problem as found in our pride in the flesh. We want what we want because we want what we want. You know, it's all about us. It's narcissism at its fullest. And it's literally in all of humanity. The flesh, it literally talks about it in these passages. James chapter 4 verse 13 talks about, you do not come from your... Do they not come? We're talking about these wars and fights. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? The scripture is telling us there are some battles that go on within us. And we need to be aware of that. You know, one of the issues with an addict of whatever the addiction is you need to learn that that is a normal situation that we would have desires. What isn't normal is to act on them. We just got to say, no, that's not normal. That's the way of the world. It's not the way I'm going to go. I want God's way in this. And He has promised to always give us a way of escape. He has promised to provide us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can have the power to turn onto a different path. And go all the way. I think of Galatians, and it talks about the battle, the hatred, contention, jealousies, and outburst of wrath, and selfish ambitions. All of those are emotions that we have within. They're very natural. And once again, we need to recognize that that's what we battle with. Doesn't mean we have to give in to them. A lot of people say, well, no, that's the way I am. I used that excuse for a long time. Now, it's hard to tell. I mean, I fully recognize how this may sound really quite humorous, but Jessica, your color of hair, I had brighter red hair than that for most of my life until about, I don't know, 15 years ago. Then that disappeared. I never had that problem again. But, you know, I remember when I was a young boy, somebody told me because, you're mad like a redhead. You just got a temper, you got, you know, whatever. I use that excuse all the time. I just defined who I was. I said, well, that's great, man. I can use that as my reason for exploding in every situation. And I did. And it's by God's grace I didn't end up hurting somebody or getting hurt myself. But my point is, we shouldn't be making excuses for sinful behavior. Avoiding conflict. That's what we talked about last time. I'm not going to repeat it. I have it on here, so we can look at that on your own if you want to review that portion or get the book, even better. But it kind of reduces. When you're talking about avoiding conflict, I thought his four little verses or phrases really capsulates it. If you look at this part over here, the blue, when you start saying things like, that's ridiculous. Okay, what are you saying? Listen, I got an opinion that is better than your opinion. And your opinion doesn't mean anything to me. That's what you're saying in your face. I don't think anything about what you're saying. Okay, number two. I will have my way. Now, that is legitimate in certain situations. It's legitimate when I'm talking to a four-year-old grandson who has a plan that is not okay. Okay? If you understand what I'm saying? This is fine for me to say, no, we're going to do it my way. And you know, you have all this, you imagine, in fact, I have quite often I'll have two four-year-olds and one five-year-old and one three-year-old around me. And it's amazing that age how they have explanations for everything. You know, in their own mind, they really answer the situation. But they're almost always opposite of what should be done. Well, in those situations, it is right to say, no, my way rules. But as adults, let's talk about it when we're talking to other adults. We got to be careful with this stuff. Just taking a high road and saying, I'm anchoring my heels on this, and this is where I'm standing, and you're foolish. We're not doing it your way, we're doing it my way. How dare she say that to me, or I dare her say that, or he say that to me. I'm not going for that plan. I will not be treated that way. See, those are all narcissistic, self-focused. Notice the parallel thoughts. Instead of saying that's ridiculous, what about it? Maybe you got a point there. That's a very diffusing thing to say. You know, in a conflict when somebody's really raging, well, that, you may have a point there. Tell me more. Help me understand. Is it not true that often when you get people coming at you like that, they're saying, that's ridiculous, you shouldn't have done that. And if you're able to say, hold on a second, you probably have a point here, help me understand, I didn't mean it. You ever get into a situation where you never meant it and people are blowing up at you? See, that's a beautiful way to respond. Hold on a second, I didn't mean that. Obviously, I triggered something that I hitting a switch, I didn't recognize I was turning, and let's back up here a second. Can we back up and try this again? I don't have to have it my way. You know what? That's so true. Because I don't want it my way anymore. There was a day when I wanted it my way. But I'll tell you what, instead of wanting it my way, I want it God's way. I seriously can say that. I want to figure, have you ever heard problems that are so complex you say, I don't have any answers for this? That happens to me all the time. I sit there and listen to that. I don't know. But it's so comforting to say, you know what? I don't really know, but I do know God knows. And so our challenge here is not necessarily to think it through ourselves, but to see if we can't just come to have God put in mind principles and verses in our mind that would help us understand what He would have us to do in this situation. By the way, many times it's patience. The biggest problem we have, and we don't have solutions for it, we don't have any immediate solutions. You know, for an evening when I'm hungry, I really like microwave popcorn because I can have my popcorn in three and a half minutes or something like that. Same way, when my wife's out of town, I live off of these chicken pot pies. It's 5 minutes and 40 seconds in my microwave. Perfect. You know, I know I'm going to have my warm meal no matter what in 5 minutes, and as long as the electricity doesn't go out. But the point is, patience is a critical item. It's not about us. I need to pray for her. How dare she say that to me? I need to pray for her. I need to pray for them. You know, it's really fascinating when you have somebody on a phone and you're talking to them and you can tell that they're really anxious. Well, they're talking to be praying for them. Lord, give me grace. Help me diffuse the situation. They are obviously very, very distraught by this. Doesn't that break your heart when people get really, really stressed out? It does to me. And I've found just praying for them is incredible. You really have a way of seeing the hand of God working it. Because God has a way of diffusing it. You say, wow, I didn't expect that. But praise God. You know, it deflates itself. How can I return good to her? Or how can I do good to her? We're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the word love means, that's agape, means to sacrificially give ourselves to meet the need of another without anything coming back to ourselves. So you don't have to worry about whether you got an even amount. No, the intention is not to get anything back and just be used of the Lord. Literally be used up for the Lord. Okay, I'm getting to resolve conflict. I went way too long on that discussion. Resolving conflict. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. I want to talk about the wrong way very quickly. I'm just going to show you the three so you maybe fill in the blanks and I'll talk about them. Let time heal it. Okay, in other words, this is the wrong way, by the way. You got this big battle and you say, well, I'm just going to wait it out. I'm sure if we just wait long enough, it'll go away. And then they try to bury it. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen. We're going to get up tomorrow morning, and I'm going to have a smile on my face. I'm going to go about the day. It doesn't work very well, by the way. That does not work well. It's not a biblical. Pretend it never happened. Oh, that's a great one. Just ignore the situation and expect it to never repeat itself, right? No, you'll be training every situation to repeat itself all the time. Wait for the other person to initiate the resolution. And then the last one is punish the other person until they change and take all the blame. Going back to this one, let time heal it. Matthew chapter 5 is all about a man praying at an altar. And when he remembers that he's done something about wrong towards another person, he is supposed to get up from praying to the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord tells him, get up and get over and get right with the other person and then come and worship me. Does that sound like let time heal it? How about the Ephesians 4, verse 26? You know what that's all about? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That doesn't sound like letting it sit around, does it? It sounds like you already ought to stay current with life. It's much better than for just letting things pile up. Try to bury it. You know why I say that that's so vicious? Proverbs 28:13 says that he that hideth his sins will not prosper. No one's going to prosper by burying stuff like this. We need to deal with it biblically. God intends for conflicts to be resolved, not pretend like they don't happen. What will happen in those types of relationships is you're going to get bitter. Or they're going to get bitter. It's not going to get better, that's for sure. And then in the next one, again, it says wait for the other person to initiate the resolution. If you take Matthew chapter 5 and in your notes write down Luke chapter 17 verse 3, you would see the two sides of this. It says that in the Matthew chapter 5, if you remember that you've sinned against somebody, get up and go solve it. In Matthew chapter 17 verse 3, it says in those situations, if someone has done something against you, you are to seek them out and get it reconciled. So it's proactive. You ought to be running at each other to solve this and punish the other person until it changes. Well, Galatians chapter 6 says, he who is spiritual, restore such a one in need in the spirit of meekness. Restore him in gentleness. That doesn't sound like beat him up with the idea, does it? Pound him down in the dirt with the thought. No, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 20 is all. I quoted one of the verses, 18 earlier. If it is possible, much lieth in you, live peaceably. We are not to seek vengeance for what things are done to us. We are to be deliverers of the love of God in the lives of others. Now, here's some God-honoring ways, and I have to do this very quickly. Forgive me for this. And confess any sin that you have aware of before God. This verse, Psalms 39:23-24, great verses to read over for your devotional time. It talks about, God, look at my heart. Help me understand whatever wickedness I have in me. Expose it to me so I can be right. Isn't that a beautiful reminder? It's not, you know what? I find it a little painful. I just did it again this morning. I was thinking about that this morning, and I went, oh, man, I need to get that right. That wasn't the right response. And you know what? We need to take those, you know, times seriously and then go get right. Talk to the people that you may not have been right when you responded to their situation, even if it is a four-year-old. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we don't, if we pretend there's no sin, he says, you've got some real issues. You really misunderstand who you are and the way God works. Next one is go to your spouse or the other person you're trying to resolve the conflict and ask for forgiveness. Not say you're sorry. I don't allow it in my, you know, in my interactions with people. If I'm in a position where I can teach, you know, not always, but in those situations where I can teach, I don't allow people to say, oh, I'm sorry I did that. You know, you hold it. Are you sorry because you got caught? You sorry because it's messed up the way your day has been going? No. If you've done something wrong, will you forgive me? Do you understand the difference between I'm saying I'm sorry and saying forgiveness? When you say I am sorry, it means I have an emotional feeling about this situation and I don't feel comfortable about it. It has nothing to do with where their heart really is. But when you say to someone, listen, will you forgive me? You know, our kids, when my kids were younger, when my grandkids now, when I'm in a position to work with them, I have them hold each other's hands and look them in the eye, have them each look in the eye. This is really funny with little kids when they try to do this. But it's a good exercise for them. Look them in the eye and ask for forgiveness. First of all, state that you are regretful. You're sorry about hitting them. And will you forgive me? Because what happens in that? If it was Tony that has knocked over Zoe, his little sister, there's Tony saying, I'm sorry I did that. That was the wrong thing to do. Will you forgive me, Zoe? Now what is it? Zoe is in control of the situation. She can say yes or no. And when you have a 3- and 4-year-old, you're going to get both answers here. No, I'm not wanting to do that. And then you have to jump in and help them recognize that is not an acceptable option biblically. God wants you to, when people repent of their sin, then they grant forgiveness. I think of those two. I just want to mention a really acute thing happened the other night. They had both been messing around in bed, and I went in to discipline them. And got that resolved. And it was time to go to sleep. And they both told me they were kind of scared. I said, well, scared or not, you're staying in this bed. Let's just kind of figure out our options here. That is not an option. You're staying in the bed. And then Zoe turns over to Tony, reaches out and grabs his two hands. And then turned to me and says, it'll be all right. And they went to sleep holding each other's hands. They were both all right with that. There's a sweetness in it. Isn't that a beautiful principle? She said, okay, I can't change the circumstances, but I can face it with someone else I really care about. And we can go through this together. And they went to sleep almost immediately. You know how little kids can do it? You know, you're talking to them and 1 second later they're out. That's what happened. Okay, I got distracted here. Express a desire to resolve the conflict fully and together set a time to meet and resolve the conflict. So you express a desire to resolve it. You know, listen, I don't like the fact that we have this stress. Can't we sit down and talk about this? And then sit down and talk about it. I got to move because I have some other... Okay, and some additional ones come together at an appointed time, because sometimes you need a little space and time to just think through what you want to do and what you think is the right answers and pray about it. Pray together for God's wisdom, self-control, and speech. I'm talking about at the start of this. You pray and say, Lord, help us. Say this right. And then review God's rules of communications, which you go through Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through the end. It really gives you some great ideas there. But if I talked about a couple principles, if I forget the rules for a second, the two principles that override it for me is, first of all, I seek to understand before I seek to be understood. That is huge for me, because I have a strong personality, and I really, when I, you ever come to a conclusion, you can't believe everybody else cannot see it the same way you do. I recognize I lock into things without hearing the other person's position even, because, well, obviously this is the right thing to do. Don't you understand? You're foolish not to understand it my way. So I say to myself, don't go there. Seek to understand before you try to seek to have them understand where you are. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And the second one is seek clarity so you understand where they're from and where they're coming from before you seek agreement. Some people go into these situations for conflict resolution with, it's all about we got to get together. No. You don't necessarily want to come together on either one of your positions. I want clarity on what the problem is. I want clarity. And then from clarity, I want the two of us to seek the hand of the Lord and what the Word of God says. And that is the position we want to pursue. So we seek clarity before agreement, and then we pursue God's path and solution. And the last one is, each one should take a turn to confess any sin that has not been confessed to God and to our spouse or that other person, and ask for forgiveness. And those are some great verses. I hope you'll look at this later. And let me just talk about a suggested process. This doesn't work, you know, if you're talking about your boss and he's an ungodly individual and doesn't want to talk about spiritual things, it's probably not going to be applicable. But when you're talking about two people that know the Lord and love the Lord, this really does. And the way I have said for people to do it, and I have done it myself, is literally print out this or write it out and say, look this over. How about let's follow this process? And then we follow it. And I'll just give you the six steps here, or eight steps. Begin discussing the issue that precipitated the conflict. So you each take a turn. Let's just talk about what it is, because we're going to seek clarity. Make sure that we hear where the other person's coming from. Decide what you can agree upon. You know, there's going to be parts of it. You say, yep. And I don't agree with that part. So we're going to try to clarify what we agree on, and then seek to clarity in what we don't agree upon. See, that offers clarity here. You're narrowing it down so it isn't. So many times, as a pastor, I've seen people fight and literally get divorced over issues. And when you talk to them separately, they define the problem differently. It isn't even the same problem. It's really sad. And it says clarity is a really critical issue here. And then decide what kind of issue or issues you are dealing with. Is it an opinion? Is it a difference? Or is it some sort of behavior, an action that someone has taken that is really it? Or maybe it is their position that led to your action, which led to their action, and now you really got a mess. They did this. The other person screamed, hollered, and wouldn't talk to him. And the next thing you know, the other person is back hitting the other person. And this thing just escalates because they didn't seek clarity, they weren't seeking resolution, they were just seeking get my way. Decide on specific steps to resolve the issue. So it's important, you gotta define what the issue is. This is what the problem is. The problem is you are not consistently working. Okay, I am bringing home, I'm taking care of the household, and I'm bringing home all the money, and you are sitting around doing nothing. That's a problem. Okay, so let's just call it the problem. And then you'll start to hear, as you start to clarify that, they may say, well, the reason why is, you know, they'll give all their justification for that. I don't have time to go into an illustration, but because they there's some really good ones, though. But at any rate, we'll leave that alone. Specific steps to resolve it. What should be done? Well, one, if you're talking about this issue that I just kind of painted briefly, it might be that you would be an encouragement to them to look for a job instead of an egg. You would look for possible job positions with them and talk over and help. You would talk together and find what type of jobs they're looking for, and you look together, and they would. Then you would talk about it each night until we started getting some interviews. And if it's a matter of getting the right clothes, they would, you know, figure out getting them dressed properly so they go to the interview properly. You know, those types of basic, practical things, and decide if and when you need to discuss the issue again. Let's decide that we're not going to think it's dead. It's done right now. Because a lot of times conflicts don't go away that quick. It's good to say, you know what, let's talk about it again in 2 days or 3 days and see how we're doing. And then the next one is end their time together with prayer and expression of love for one another. I'll go back to my grandkids or what I did with my children when they were younger. You know, we're a family, and we would end by giving each other hugs if there was a conflict. I just want you to know I love you. And then you give each other a hug. And that's how we ended the dispute. Yeah, there's a sweetness. It's a reminder. Listen, the relationship's higher than the issue. Okay, God wants us together here. We can get through this. And yeah, that wasn't the right thing, but we've granted forgiveness. We've asked for forgiveness. We've granted forgiveness. We're going forward now. And we need to reaffirm love, expressions of concern and care. And then, together, start carrying out the plan. And check back and say, how are we doing? What can I do more to help you? If it was this job issue, what can I do? Maybe it is get someone else involved. You know, it's just, we got to be creative. Life has these issues, and they're not necessarily solved in a day. Many of them aren't. Many of them are solved over a long period of time. But they can be solved. Father, I pray that that would be helpful. I ask, Lord, that you would help us as individuals to recognize first and foremost, premier, that our relationship with you is paramount. And you have told for us to live in unity, not around lies, but around truth and in love. And I pray, Father, that these thoughts that we've been sharing tonight might help us. And we just pray that we might practice them. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.